Thank you for joining me on my first ever Youth Hour podcast. I am Natasha Mwamba. Today on the program, we'll be looking at the effect of xenophobia attacks on the youths. And to help me discuss the topic at hand, I am paying host to
Ilukui, welcome.
Thank you.
And I have Chivivi. Chivivi, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And I have Elaine, all the way from Zimbabwe. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Awesome, I'm okay. So today on the program, we're going to be talking about the effects of the xenophobia attacks on the youths. You know what, this is not the first time that we're having xenophobia attacks in South Africa. I think they've started way, way back. What do you think is the cause of xenophobic attacks, Elaine?
Okay, the cause for xenophobia is disgruntled citizens that are, you know, angry against foreigners because they think the foreigners have come all the way from their countries and they are taking what's theirs. It's like they feel like what belongs to them has been taken by someone else. So they feel they no longer enjoy the privileges that they're supposed to be enjoying. And at the end of the day, they end up killing anyone who they think is in their way, anyone they think is exploiting their opportunities. So at the end of the day, due to the hate, they end up killing, you know, other citizens. They end up killing other
immigrants.
Yeah, Chibibi, what do you think is the cause of xenophobia in South Africa?
I think it's hatred, and I also think it's somehow ignorance. Because South Africans believe that foreigners are getting their job. I'll give an example. If a doctor comes from Nigeria to practice medicine there, there's no way that someone who does not even have qualifications can be crying for that job. There's no way you can practice medicine when you've never gone to medical school.
Mm-hmm.
So I think South Africans are being unrealistic by crying for jobs that, firstly, they do not apply for. Secondly, they are not qualified for. It's like they want those jobs on a silver plate, which is not supposed to be the case. Anyone can go to another country and work, provided that they're qualified for that job. And I feel it's unfair that they're going to an extent of killing people because there's no way that they alone, they cannot be an island on their own. Nobody is an island. And, you know, and for us to grow as Africa and to work together, there's need for us to interact and live together in harmony.
Ilukui.
Okay, on my side, what is leading to xenophobic attacks is corruption and high level of unemployment. Why am I saying so? You find that Zambia has a high rate of unemployment, see? So most of our people here, or most of our citizens, they'll migrate to other countries like South Africa, Namibia, in order to do business, you see, or in order to be employed in South Africa or Namibia or Zimbabwe. You find that maybe these are which we term as small jobs. A South African would deny to be employed at on an average wage. Let me say maybe you want to be a maid, and then you are denying to be paid $600 as a South African. And then a Zambian will come, who will migrate into South Africa, looking for job at any given cost. They'll say that, okay, me, for as long as you employ me, I get money at the end of the month. Okay, you can be giving me $500, which a South African would want to be getting $1,000 for that particular job. You get it.
Mm-hmm.
So in that same country, there's also a high level of unemployment. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. There's high level of unemployment. Then the same people will be jealous, as Elaine said, like, why are foreigners coming to our country and have employment or have jobs ahead of us?
Mm.
So I think unemployment, it's a high level, or it contributes to high level of xenophobic attacks.
All right.
Just to add on that, I believe when someone goes to another country, it's kind of difficult for them because that's not really their place. They're not really comfortable there, and they struggle to settle. So whatever opportunity that they get, no matter how little it is, they'll fight for it, and they'll ensure that whatever business or whatever work they have, they work hard and they'll flourish. And that's what usually angers other people, because this person started a small business, and within a short period of time, their business will grow because they know what they are there for. They are determined for that. And like
those the owners of that country, they'll be a bit relaxed because that's their country. So even the way they will conduct their business, it will not be the same with the way a foreigner will conduct their business.
Okay, following the very same as xenophobic attacks, I was just reading an article where South Africans were denying that we're not just killing people because they are foreigners. No. It's because these foreigners, they come and do drugs, prostitution, and everything. So I think that's one of the reasons why we have xenophobic attacks in South Africa.
Awesome. African governments doing enough to curb xenophobia? I'll start with Ellen.
So, as most African governments, they're really not doing much to try and curb this xenophobia, because one of the reasons for xenophobia is due to the, most people from different African countries migrating into South Africa, and most African countries still have high levels of unemployment. And this is one of the actions that most African governments should consider, should take into, you know, take into consideration whenever they are doing their planning, whenever they are doing their programming. They should try to curb this issue of unemployment. Most African countries have a high number of youths, especially the youths that are not even employed. And at the end of the day, having a huge number of youths that are just sitting there doing nothing, they end up migrating to other places where they think they can get greener pastures. So at the end of the day, it's then difficult for even South Africa on its own to be able to deal with these, you know, situations, such scenarios whereby this xenophobia starts rising again. So at the end of, so in my own thinking, it's like African governments are not really doing much, because they really need to deal with the aspect of unemployment, and especially the youths, because as long as the youths are idle and they are not doing anything, they'll always be going to South Africa. And at the end of the day, resources in South Africa end up being, constrained, because they have limited resources. They can't have the resources that can be able to, you know, cater for every person who just decides to go to South Africa. Because even our most African countries' health systems, they are poor. They are just deteriorating. Even someone who needs to seek for medical help, they have to go to South Africa. And in a way, it's like we end up, you know, putting a lot of pressure on the South African government so that they cater for others, you know, citizens of other countries. So I think as the African government, they are really not doing much, though they're trying to do these, you know, press statements and all this, but it's not really, you know, a solution. It's, you know, it's just, those are just words, but these words, they're not really doing, coming up with something that is tangible. Because as Africans, as a youth, I really expect that my government should be able to do something that can bring me, you know, a job. At least if I'm to come up with my own idea, let my idea be able to be nurtured. At least let me be able to, you know, come up with something that is of my own, and, you know, have these more youth that are into entrepreneurship. They can be able to come up with their own things. But then our government, usually they surprise whatever that we try to do as the youth, because they're always telling us that we don't really have the qualifications, we are not really that, you know, we don't really have the experience. How then do they expect us to get the experience while we are not even exposed? So at the end of the day, African governments are not really doing much, because they're just sitting there, and I'm not so sure who they are expecting to be their messiah to come and, you know, open platforms so that the youth can be able to get jobs.
All right. Chibibi, she's raised a good question, or a good comment, where she's talking about leaders not doing much, where they're just releasing press statements. That's not enough. Everyone is going to condemn that act, but at the end of the day, what are they doing? What are we doing? And I feel there's need to take action, especially for the authorities in South Africa. There's need to put up stiff laws that are going to curb this vice, because the more we keep dragging this issue, the more we keep on releasing statements and not going on the ground and bringing these perpetrators to book. This vice is going to continue. This year we'll have it, next year we'll have it, and it will continue losing more people. So there's need to have stiff laws that is going to curb this vice and bring the perpetrators to book.
All right, you've spoken of stiff laws that we need to have stiff. What kind of laws are those?
I think they should be imprisoned because no one has a right to take another person's life. So what they are doing must be condemned and they must be punished for that.
Okay, this is where I think AU and SADC should now come in. Sure. They're doing nothing. Last year we had the same scandals. I don't know if they're scandals, allegations or what. We had the same things, but AU, SADC, COMESA, they've never intervened in this matter. But I think as African countries with solidarity with our brothers who have been killed in large numbers in South Africa, I think we are doing the right thing to alarm the South African government and the people that as Africans, we really dislike what they are doing. Because, for instance, I'll say South Africa is one of the richest countries in Zambia, or in Africa, rather. You see? Its GDP is more than, how can I say, it's maybe 3 or 4 times better than our Zambian GDP or economic status, so to say. So you find that as African countries like Zimbabwe, Zambia, Namibia, Nigeria, we are depending on South African goods, products. So as Africans, as Zambians, what we are doing right now is to shut down the South African businesses, to see that, to tell them that, or to alarm them that they cannot do better without our help. So I think we are doing the great job, or the great thing as African countries.
As other African countries, do you think us protesting is the best way we can resolve xenophobia?
Yeah, it's the best way to resolve xenophobia. Because I'm pretty sure if all the South African companies or business or investors were to be shut down in these other countries, in these other African countries, like how many South African investors do we have in Zambia? Do we have in Nigeria? We have MTN, we have Mr. Price, we have all these other South African companies or businesses making a lot of money out of our people. You see?
Mm-hmm.
It's true, yes, they do employ our people, yes. We can't deny that fact. But they are making a lot of money out of those people they have employed. So, you see? I came across an article that MTN, it makes more than $100 million in a year, just in Zambia. Just imagine that 100 they make if it was ours. You get it?
Mm-hmm. I'm getting you.
If that was ours.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will reduce the GDP for South Africa. Meaning there will be high level of unemployment, and those South Africans will be migrating to other countries to seek for employment. So I think it's the best way we're doing.
Yeah, Elaine, is that the best way we're doing to demonstrate as African?
So for me, any demonstration done peacefully is an okay demonstration for me. Because this thing that has become part of most of our African demonstrations, whereby people try to demonstrate peacefully,
mm-hmm.
and they end up being tagged by the local police or the military.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, it ends up being something that was meant to be peaceful. You end up having bloodshed. Mm-hmm. It's like the government now killing its own people.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, it's okay, we're trying to deal with the situation in Zambia,
mm-hmm.
but in South Africa, the xenophobia issue, then you end up also having your own internal issue, mm-hmm. then which it makes it even difficult for you to then focus on the xenophobic attacks. Then you're now focusing on your own killings that would be happening in your own country. And then as Iluku said, that there is the, these companies, these South African-owned companies, they do bring employment, and that is true. And they do as well bring an income even to Zambia. Mm-hmm. Like whenever they are operating, they bring something.
Do they bring an income in Zimbabwe?
Yeah, if we have them, I think they do bring something because of the tasting and what. Mm-hmm. So then, I always think of whereby people protest and they break into a shop. I saw a video whereby there was a Mr. Price shop that was broken into, and people were looting things. They were just taking things, you know. Everyone who was nearby could just go and take whatever they wanted. And to think of there's going to be those a number of people who will be unemployed mm-hmm. for a certain time,
mm-hmm.
and that's a family that depends on that same income. Meaning we are also, you know, starving our own people just to fix South African government. But then at the same time, we are also fixing our own people. So I think at the end of the day, we have to consider the actions of what we are doing. Because if you destroy infrastructure that costs much just because of, you know, something that could have been done, you know, maybe peacefully through people talking, that would be, you know, that would end up being a challenge. But I think that as long as protests are done peacefully and people manage to, you know, negotiate, because people singing and protesting is really, really good, because it, you know, it brings out a voice. It brings out the opinions of the people. They get to say whatever they want to say and they get to be listened to. You know, imagine like each and every country that is in Africa making a peaceful protest, going to the, you know, South African embassy.
Mm.
It's like it's a voice, it's an opinion. Everyone else who's in Africa is saying something against the, you know, South African government so that they do something so that they keep these xenophobic attacks. But then if we start doing it, you know, in a wrongly way whereby we became violent and all that, it then becomes a challenge, because we now have to also deal with our own internal issues. It's difficult to, you know, deal with external issues while you have your own internal issues. So I think then when it comes to protesting, well, that then kind of sets the line. Like there's always a thin line between a peaceful demonstration and a violent one. So as long as the demonstration can be done in a peaceful way, they can go ahead.
No. Last year,
uh-huh.
I just want to raise a question on what she said. Last time we had this, people protested peacefully, but it seems like I didn't hear. So I think doing all the demonstration by breaking into stores.
Are you trying to support the violent way of demonstrating?
Yeah,
or what?
I'm trying to support.
Why are you
maybe
supporting
our voices
it?
Will be heard now when we destroy things.
But at that time, the xenophobic attacks that were done last year, 2018, they stopped at a certain time.
Yeah.
But what I think right now, what needs to be dealt with is not the, you know, this demonstration, this violence.
Mm-hmm.
What needs to be dealt with right now is the root cause for these xenophobic attacks. If you say you were going to be dealing with something, then it keeps happening. It means there is a root cause that whenever you're trying to solve the issue, you're just solving the surface, you know, issues, the surface problems that you can see, but there's always that deep-rooted problem. That problem, as long as it is not really resolved, and I think there's maybe some sort of there's a need for maybe South Africa to do a national reconciliation and a peace, you know, something in their country, so that they can be able to deal with what's really wrong. What, you know, what went wrong? Is it that they hate us or they hate their government and they're just trying? Have you ever seen that child who just does those wrong things? Just to, not because they want to do something wrong, but they're just trying to send a message to their own parents. So maybe the South Africans that are doing all these things, they're trying to send a certain message to their own government. But at the end of the day, the people who are, you know, just being encompassed in this whole thing are foreigners. So I think there's need to deal with the root cause of xenophobia. Otherwise, it's not really going to end in 2019. It's going to keep continuing and even
year after
affecting
year.
The next generation. But what needs to be dealt with right now is the root cause. And this is where the likes of SADC and AU should come in, because they can be able to help. It's like they're supposed to be a neutral party and be able to deal with this whole thing. If it's something that is internally in South Africa, they can be able to, you know,
give out their voice, give up their own opinions, and come up with long-lasting solutions. Not this, you know, okay, we're sending big Zimbabweans to their countries. Then in 2 months, the Zimbabweans are back in South Africa. This won't really, you know, solve anything. But there's need to deal with the, you know.
Okay. Yeah. So we've heard from Ilukui and Elaine. So let's hear what Chibubi has to say about it. She's being quiet over here.
I don't believe that protests are the way to go, because most of the times when people start a protest, it ends up being violent. Mm-hmm. And the issue of looting shops, I think that's not the way we should do things. We can let them run their businesses, but we've got Zambian products in there. We can go in there and buy our own products. We've got Trade Kings. I think Trade Kings makes almost everything, and it's able to supply us with most of these commodities that we use in our day-to-day lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think we can take that step. We don't have to break into their shops, get their things. No, we don't have to do that. But let's just support our local products. And we're going to grow our industries if we do that.
So, Ilan, you touched a point where you say it can affect the next generation. So, yeah, how is xenophobia affecting us as you?
So, xenophobia right now is creating some sort of a rift in African countries, especially most African countries against South Africa. And at the end of the day, we as the youth, we are the generation that is growing. Mm. And as a growing generation, we are also, we will tend up, you know, developing that anger. And it will keep on, you know, developing and, you know, growing. And at the end of the day, we are going to be a children who then as well hate South Africans because of what maybe their grandparents suffered, you know, in the hands of the South Africans during a certain xenophobic attack. And at the end of the day, and think of how where South Africa is located in on the map of Africa.
Uh-huh.
It's at the center. And mm-hmm. if everyone just tends to, you know, shun away from South Africa, then mm-hmm. what happens to them? It's like we have created, an island
mm-hmm.
in our own, you know, African state. At the end of the day, we're supposed to make decisions that we make together as African countries. Because I believe in that we're trying to achieve maybe, the whole aspect of Pan-Africanism, of African mm-hmm. countries coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll fail even to unite as a people. And think of what SADC will be without even South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We are Southern, and there are even neighbors to, you know, many, many, many other countries that are in Southern Africa. So at the end of the day, without that, South Africa is just a lost, a certain part of history that will be lost, and a certain good country that will just go, you know, that would have just gone bad. At the end of the day, it's, you know, hatred that will grow from one generation to the other, and it will be, you know, a history that will keep on being retold and being retold. At the end, even the next generation will keep hating South Africa, and even more than how we, you know, the current situation is. Because whenever history is then being told, there is the aspect of, you know, exaggeration and a lot of distortions, and in that way, it will even make our own children, even grandkids, to even hate South Africans. Yet it's just something that could have been solved. So I think this whole issue of xenophobia really needs to be dealt with, because it's really going to be much of a curse than a blessing to all this our generation and even the future generations to come.
Okay, Chibini.
I think we are taking this lightly, because the way I'm seeing things, we might even have war if this thing is not addressed, because people are angry, people are killing each other, and how sure are we that in few weeks or in a month's time, we're not going to have war, and, you know, people will start killing each other even in their own countries. So I think there's need for us to address this issue, because at the end of the day, if we do not address it, we might all be wiped out, because everyone wants to leave. So now we'll be fighting.
All the youths be wiped out. Oh.
We might all be wiped out, because everyone wants to, we are all fighting for survival. Everyone wants to kill the other person, which shouldn't be the case. So I think there's need for us to address this issue amicably as soon as possible, so that it does not affect the future generation, because we're going to pass on the hate that we have in our, within us to the next generation, and we do not want that.
Okay. Ilukui, how is xenophobia what effect does xenophobia have on the youth and the generation to come?
Okay. Effects are so many, but I'm going to focus on the division and economic barriers which will be set. That's my view. Like, South Africa would detach itself from many other countries. Like Elaine said, how is SADC going to be if it was going to detach itself from SADC? How will it be? Like, as I said earlier, South Africa needs us to develop its nation. We also need South Africa to develop our nation. That's the only truth we should know. Zambia has a shortage of water, so to say, electricity. So the Zambian government is planning to import electricity to Zambia to pump in the economic growth of this country. So if South Africa was to detach itself, I'm sure even the bilateral relations will cut. So I think it's high time we resolve. Otherwise, it'll be total division.
All right. So as youths, what do we need to do for us to help in curbing xenophobia?
Okay, what the youth can do to curb xenophobia is to try and unite. Like stand together and stand in solidarity with the people that are living in South Africa. And in a way, if we manage to, make influence in wherever we are, because I believe we have the youth that are even part of the SADC, we have youth that are even part of the AU, we even have youth that are even part of the South African government. Those people, they can be very instrumental in bringing about peace, and in that way we really need the youth to stand together and be able to spread out the word of peace and be able to stand together as one, because if we fail to stand together as one, we're really not going to achieve anything. So we really need to start facing the reality, to know that it's not about hating the next person and about a person coming from a different country from you. It's all about us being one, us being human, and at the end of the day, we are all Africans, and we are, all human. All
right. Ilukwe, before we go to Chibibi.
Okay, as youths, I can't really say much because we are restricted, so to say. Like, our freedom to expression is always less. It's always oppressed. So I don't think we have the voice in this as youths, rather than protesting and looting foreigners' shops. Yeah. So that's what we can only participate for now.
All right. Awesome. Yes, Chibibi.
I think for us to voice out, I think we can carry out peaceful demonstrations. We do not have to introduce violence into this issue. Let us promote peace and unity among the African countries. I think that's the main thing that we can do.
I would start with the only gent. Yeah. What can be your last words over xenophobic issues?
Okay, I'm not only going to speak back to South Africa. This message goes to all African countries. I believe that for Zambians, for Namibians, for Zimbabweans to be in South Africa, they were given permit to stay there. It's more like I invite Elaine into my house. I have to really protect her. I really have to protect her. Yeah, no matter the situation. So it's high time those South Africans, they need to respect those people who are in their country. They have permit. I know it's not everyone there who has a document of stay in that country, but their immigration should do something. Let those people in South Africa be protected. They are there for a reason.
All right.
Sure.
Yeah, Chibibi, your last word.
I think let's not do what the South Africans are doing. Let's not kill South Africans in our countries. Let us protect them and let us hold peaceful demonstrations. Let us have campaigns. Let us show South Africans that there are better ways to address this issue and like using violence and killing other people.
All right. Elaine, your last words.
Okay. My last words were, for African countries, not specifically South Africa, because you might give your word South Africa today, then tomorrow it's another country that is doing it, that is in Africa. So my words would be, Africa, we are one.
We are one people, and there is need for us, before even being Africans, we are all humans, and the aspect of humanity should, you know, stay in us, live in us, and there is the aspect of love. You just need to love the next person as much as you love yourself, and unity is always the only way to go, and divided we will never stand. So there's need for unity in Africa. Africa unite, Africa will succeed.
Awesome. It's been Natasha Mumba. Until next time, do